Hello, it's Tuesday, October 3rd, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. A lot of people ask us over the last couple years, why does the truth matter so much to Wing TV? Why do you guys spend so much time pointing out when others are lying to people in this movement? And we figured what we do today is go over a couple things in our lives, our past lives, or our earlier part of our lives, that really have formed or shaped us in viewing the world, especially this so-called patriot movement. And I guess the most recent example would be this new kid that John Stattmiller brought on RBN. This kid's been proven to be spreading huge amounts of disinformation. There's any number of people in the alternative media who are contacting us saying this kid has to go. It's unbelievable Stattmiller's keeping him on this long. And you have to ask yourself also, if there's a known disinfo agent on RBN or on GCN or on any of these other sites, does it really matter to you? Or is this nothing but a game? Are we serious about wanting the truth, since it is a truth movement? Or do we just throw our hands up and say, oh, well, John Stattmiller has a disinfo agent on his network, but, who really cares? This is all just a big game anyways. We don't really take it seriously, do we? Well, why are there so few other people in the alternative media actually pointing out that John Stattmiller has this blatant disinfo agent? And this kid's not the only one. There's a plethora of disinfo agents in this movement, yet nobody seems to be calling them out like Wing TV does.
I have a problem. I've had a problem for a long time with calling it a movement. In order to have a movement that's effective, a movement that accomplishes things, it's very important to weed out the deviant elements. Now, that's if you really want to have a movement. If you want to expose the truth about 9/11 and all the other crimes that have been committed against the American people and the rest of humanity throughout history, if you want to have an effective movement that accomplishes anything good, you have to weed out the deviant elements. Now, the problem with this whole alternative media supposed 9/11 truth movement and supposed patriot movement is that it's co-opted and controlled by deviant elements. It was designed by psychopaths and deviant people.
It's no different than the control system that runs organized religion, that runs world government, nationwide government, the mainstream media, the same exact forces that were used to control and create those entities are also the exact same ones that created the alternative media.
Yeah. So if we get hip to what's going on with the government and with the governments of the world, and then we get hip to what's going on with the mainstream media, how do we fail to recognize the very same things in the alternative media, in the patriot community, and in the 9/11 truth movement?
Just think where this movement would be if Wing TV hadn't been around for the last couple years. Right now, Tom Flacco has effectively been neutralized. No more of these bogus stories that blanket the internet. And I think that's largely because Wing TV screamed so loud about it and pointed it out so frequently that everybody else caught on.
I think Rupert's been neutralized too.
Well,
Mike Rupert.
Not only has Mike Rupert been run out of this movement, he's been run out of the country. And there were a few people in some chat rooms that were exposing Rupert, and then Dave McGowan came out with a couple big exposés, but it wasn't until Wing TV really blew Rupert out of the water that he was exposed, and now he's out of 9/11, he's out of the movement per se, and he's out of the country. That's how far we've run him out. Look at Greg Zemanski.
I think his own actions had a lot to do with him running out of the country, too.
But that all goes back to what you said, Lisa, is these are deviant personalities. These are dishonest schmucks that are in this movement. Look at Greg Zemanski. No longer doesn't he write for the American Free Press, but he's been booted off of RBN. That's, I think, by and large because of Wing TV, because we exposed him so adamantly and so undeniably.
Is he off RBN?
He's off RBN. He's off everything now. He's done for. because of Wing TV. Daryl Bradford Smith got booted off of he quit RBN, he got booted off of GCN. And I think people say, why does Daryl hate you guys so much? Here it is in a nutshell. Earlier this year, he called us drunk and started babbling, and exposing everybody at GCN. What we did then was publish these in stories. GCN got so fed up that they fired the guy. This had nothing to do with anti-Semitism or anything like that. They got sick and tired of Daryl running his big fat mouth, so now Daryl is stuck in some obscure little network that has a fringe element audience, and that's why he hates us. That's why
he's not even in a network.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he doesn't have any network. He does a little podcast, and he's so inept that he has to rely on his secretary, Eric Huffschmidt, to even maintain his site. And it goes on and on. Alex Jones, we've exposed him, and so many people have caught on to him. This guy thinks God is commanding him to bullhorn the Bilderbergs, and on and on. So I could continue. But what we want to do today now is give some personal stories from our lives, showing how we came to this point where the truth matters because the world lies. And Lisa, do you want to start or do you want me to go?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've told this story before, and I've written about it, but this was the first instance in my life where I knew full well. And what we're talking about today isn't just a little incidents where somebody steals your bike or something like that. What we're talking about is institutional deceit on a large scale. So I was a little kid, and every Christmas we'd go down to my grandparents' house for Christmas. And we would go down there on Christmas Eve, and there'd be the grandparents and all the aunts and uncles and cousins and so forth. And at night, one of the relatives would say, listen, it's Santa Claus. Can you hear him up in the sky jingling his bells? And they'd corral all the kids over to the window. And they'd point out the window and say, look up in the sky. There's Santa Claus in his sleigh. He's heading right for Grandma's house. And everyone would look and they'd be like, yeah, there he is. There's Santa Claus. And every year, I'd look out that window, and I never saw the sleigh. I never saw the reindeer. Then they'd say, listen, Santa's landing on the top of our house. Can you hear the reindeer's hooves? And everybody'd be like, yeah, I hear it. I never heard anything. And then they'd say, listen, Santa Claus is crawling down the chimney. He's going to be here any minute now. And then a minute later, here comes Santa Claus walking down the steps, and he'd have a big bag over his shoulder, and he'd give all the kids toys, and everybody'd be like, yeah, Santa Claus came to our house. This is fantastic. And the next year, the same thing had happened, and everybody had rushed to the window, and look, there's Santa Claus up in the sky. And I'd look, and I never saw Santa Claus. I never heard him land on the roof. I never heard him crawl down the chimney. And I thought I was crazy. I thought it was nuts because everybody else could see and hear it, but me. Then finally one year, after all these shenanigans were over, my cousin, who was older than me, took me off to the side, up into one of the bedrooms, and he said, you know what this is all about, don't you? I was like, no, what? He says, Santa Claus is Grandpa. Didn't you ever notice that every year, right before this happens, Grandpa mysteriously has to go down to the store to get a loaf of bread? And then he always comes back afterwards and they say, you missed it, Grandpa. Santa was here. He says, Santa Claus is Grandpa. I says, who knows about this? And he says, well, the grandparents know, your aunts and uncles know, your parents know, even the older cousins all know about it. And right then it hit me. Every single one of these people was lying to me. Every single one of them, grandparents, aunts, uncles, my own parents, my cousins, were all lying to me. They were all in on a deceit. And at that point, from that point forward, I realized the world lies to us. Wow. And I've never, ever forgotten it. Elisa, what do you want to add to this?
Well, the Santa Claus story didn't affect me that way, because I guess I really didn't grow up, even from a small child, with having a lot of hope in the world. I saw right away, from the time I was an infant even, the black side of this whole thing. My father was in the business of death. My father was a funeral director for 30-something years. And he used to take my sister and I to the funeral homes with him and to go pick up dead people on house removals. And I grew up with death all around me. I grew up smelling death on my father's clothes and in our vehicles and in our house. And I got to see people murdered who were murdered, people who killed themselves. And it was such a weird upbringing. And nobody around me could relate to it. None of the other children. I went to a convent school. It was a very oppressive environment, very strict, very controlling. And so I learned right away that the world is not a good place. We're not this whole brotherhood of man. People do very cruel, vicious, inhumane things to one another, and it's a very, very cold place to be. I also began to not trust the people right around me from a very early age. I saw hypocrisy and lies in the convent school that I went to. The nuns would lie. The nuns would punish you for asking questions about your religious beliefs that they were teaching you, and I was punished for questioning my religious beliefs at a very young age. And I learned very quickly it's not a very good thing to do. You're not supposed to do that because you get penalized for asking the wrong questions.
Uh-huh.
And so I started having a lot of conflict with the way the world presents itself. You know, how you're supposed to look at the world, the popular, politically correct way, and how it really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, that's an interesting story because Lisa and myself definitely view death in different lights, for sure. And it's because when I was a kid, I was shielded from it, like most other people are, as opposed to Lisa, who saw it intimately from a very early age, and it shapes today the way we view death, the way we view funerals and so forth. And this is one of the things I'm talking about, is it's these early experiences that form and shape us. Now, I'm going to get to a religious thing here in a minute because I have a similar story. But before that, even, I want to give another example, a very poignant example of how I realized that the power structures of the world are so unfair and don't give a damn about what's right or wrong. This would have been, now when I was a kid, I was huge into sports. Baseball, football, basketball, all of them. That was all I did when I was a kid was play sports, especially baseball. But in the eighth grade, like in seventh grade and sixth grade and all the years earlier, I was playing basketball and tried out for the basketball team. Well, what happened was, is about an hour before our first game. This was in the eighth grade. And I went to a small school in a rural area, so there wasn't a whole lot of money. Well, the coach comes out, and he says, we only have 10 uniforms, 10 real uniforms. And these uniforms had the school logo on the front with a number and a number in back. And they were nice uniforms, nothing special, but nice. And he said, for all the rest of the kids that don't make the first or second team, what they're going to get is just a red tank top. No logo, no number or anything. So obviously, the kids on the first and second team would be very proud to get the real uniform, and everybody else would be embarrassed because as soon as they run out on the court, everyone's going to know who the good players are and who the scrubs are. So needless to say, everybody was anxious about who's going to get the uniforms. So the coach starts handing them out to everybody on the first squad, the starters, the first five, and they get the good jerseys. Then he starts handing them out to the second team. And luckily, I got one of the jerseys. Okay, so I was on the second team. I wasn't by any means one of the best players on the team, but I at least made second team. And I was really proud that I got one of the real jerseys, that I didn't have to be one of the scrubs, one of the kids that's embarrassed. So we all went into the locker room, and the coach came in, and all the kids with the good jerseys were happy. All the other kids were like, oh, man, I suck. I have to wear this crappy jersey, and everyone's gonna know I'm no good. Well, at some point, one of the kids' dads that didn't get a real jersey came into the locker room, and he had this heated discussion with the coach. We could see it in the office. And he was there all going back and forth, blah, blah, blah. And we didn't know what was said, but the guy left. And then the coach a couple minutes later came out and came up to me and he said, I want your jersey back. I'm like, what? He says, yeah, I want your jersey back. Sean's going to get your jersey and you're going to get the regular red tank top. Well, it just so happens that guess whose dad was in the office? Sean's dad. So I don't know if Sean's dad was one of the boosters or one of the who or he had some pull, whatever. But I had to give up my jersey to Sean, who was a worse player than me by far. But because his dad went in there and pulled some strings, Sean got the good jersey. And I had to go out on the court and wear this generic red tank top. And I realized right there, it didn't matter who was better, who was right or wrong, or that the system should operate on an up-and-up basis. It only mattered that Sean's dad had some pull with the coach and went in there and twisted his arm enough that a player that was worse than me got the good jersey and I got the scrub jersey, and I've never, ever forgotten this. It's like formed the way, and I see this now in so many things, especially in this Patriot movement, that we're putting out this awesome information. Yet how many people ignore it just because they're part of the corrupt system?
Well, this is the way it is. We're not supposed to talk about our experiences with others. We're not supposed to share our observations of our experiences with others. That's considered to be gossiping. That's considered to be talking behind somebody's back or out of school. This is designed by psychopaths, that we're not supposed to network and share information with one another. You know, how else are we supposed to learn? We learn from our experiences. We can also learn from the experiences and observations of other people and apply them to what happens within our own circles.
But see, Lisa,
we're not supposed to do that.
There is networking, but it's only if you're one of the accepted people in the corrupt cabal. Look at the mainstream media. If one of these people in the mainstream media actually came out, say Bill O'Reilly, and said, hey, 9/11 was a big scam job, and the United States and Israel were involved in it very, very intimately, Bill O'Reilly would be bounced out of the club. It's the same in the 9/11 truth movement and the alternative media. There's a select corrupt cabal that they all promote each other and link to each other and have each other as guests on their shows. But if someone's talking about information that's outside of this cabal, like Israel's involvement in 9/11, or if we write exposés about the corrupt individuals, then we don't get to be in the network. It's the same exact way. If somebody dicks over the Bilderbergs, they don't get invited back the next year.
Yeah.
This is the way the alternative media operates too.
Throughout my life, I have seen injustice. I've seen it in all of the various arenas that I have entered, whether it's the health field, whether it's the legal system. I've seen the way homeless people are treated, where they're not even seen by the public because people don't want to even look at them and acknowledge that they're even there. You know, we penalize the people who tell the truth, and we reward the people who tell lies. And I've been on both sides of that coin. I know how damaging it is when a person tells a lie. I have been damaged by people's lies, and when I was younger and at times in my life, I've told lies that have hurt people. And I guess it all comes down to empathy and whether you have a conscience, whether you have a sense of right and wrong. And, you know, I've been mugged twice in my life, and I've seen people in my family hurt, physically hurt, emotionally hurt, psychologically hurt. I grew up in a family where a person very close to me, my sibling, would do things. She would lie and she would steal, and I would get blamed for it. And of course, I didn't do any of those things. And ultimately, that was found out. That was discovered. But I would, in the interim, get punished for the things this person did. It's very hard for people to admit that someone they love or care about or like or admire or respect is capable of doing horrible things.
Just like in the alternative media. Last week, we exposed this kid on John Stattmiller's network. Now, what does John Stattmiller do? Instead of confronting his bad decision and bringing him on RBN, instead of kicking this kid off his network for spreading blatant, blatant disinformation, what does he do? He attacks Wing TV, the people that expose the wrongdoing. It's the same thing with Jeff Rentz. Stan Miller even went and used Jeff Rentz's disinformation. It's the same with GCN. Instead of rewarding the people that are exposing the wrongdoing, they attack those who expose the wrongdoers. And it's just like the mainstream media.
It's very important to understand the nature of evil. It's very important to understand what a psychopath is, who the psychopaths are. It's not just psychopaths, it's people who've been contaminated by psychopaths. And that would be the rest of the people of conscience, who have been exposed to these psychopathic, deviant personalities.
And if you see this type of behavior and you don't say a word about it, then you're as guilty as the people doing it because you're condoning what they're doing. A good example is Gary Webb. Back in the 90s, he was writing a series of exposés for the San Jose Mercury News about how the CIA was bringing crack cocaine and guns into the streets of Los Angeles. This was an explosive story. Explosive. Uh-huh. Now, what happened to everybody in the mainstream media? Did they rally around Gary Webb and congratulate him for exposing one of the biggest stories of the decade? No, what they did was they turned on Gary Webb. And they attacked him with such a viciousness that the San Jose Mercury News actually took him off their newspaper and sent him to cover stories in BFE. Everybody knows what BFE stands for. Gary Webb got penalized for telling the truth. And you know how many times we've been attacked on Wing TV for telling the truth? It's the same thing that happened to Gary Webb. And let me know.
And that's why you see a lot of people not wanting to step up and tell the truth, because they see that there is a consequence, a negative consequence, an unpleasant, humiliating oftentimes consequence for telling the truth. And that intimidates people, this bullying and intimidation. People, we are living in a truth vacuum. And that's what we're living in.
And some people who are even supposedly our friends in this movement rarely, if ever, stick up for us. They'll go publicly and talk about everything in the world, but when it comes to sticking up for us doing right, they're very strangely mute.
And what does that say about you if you can only defend someone else if there's a crowd, you know, someone who's telling the truth, if there's you've got the crowd behind you? Right. I think it takes a lot more guts and more integrity and strength of character to stand up by yourself.
It's real easy
to tell the truth.
Yeah, it's real easy to point out
when the truth isn't popular.
Right. Well, it's real easy to point out the crimes of Israel, or it's real easy to point out the crimes of George Bush or Bill Clinton. But what about the people closest to you? The people in this movement? If people don't stick up for those telling the truth very publicly, then they are as guilty as the ones committing the crimes. And this means not only everyday people, but this means people in the alternative media. Now, let me give another example, Lisa, about religion that kind of fishtails off of what you said. All my life, I was raised in the Catholic Church. From a little kid, we went to Mass every Sunday. And then when I was in first or second grade, started going to catechism. That's what's basically known as Sunday school. Now, all through my life, going to church every Sunday and Easter and Christmas Mass, never once do I ever recall any of the priests or the nuns in catechism encouraging us to read the Bible.
No.
Never.
We were never either.
Once.
And I went to
convent
school and we weren't encouraged to read the Bible ever.
Also, in my own home, I was never encouraged to read the Bible.
So,
my entire life, even though I went to church every Sunday, went to catechism, we went to confession, I did my first Holy Communion, I had never read the Bible. Now, this wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I finally said, you know what? I ought to read this Bible, specifically the four Gospels. So I went out and bought a Bible, read the four Gospels, and there's only a few books in every person's life that absolutely blows their mind, that changes their life. And reading the four Gospels was one of those days I was like, holy shit, why wasn't I ever told any of this stuff? Why wasn't I ever told any of this stuff in the four Gospels? I mean, for 20 years I'd gone to church, and I wasn't aware of any of this stuff in the four Gospels. Now, After reading it, I realized why the Catholic Church didn't want us to read the Bible, because it completely obliterated their scam job that they were pulling.
The stark difference between what Jesus had to say and what's being taught in the organized religions that we grew up in and were drenched in. I was drenched in it.
Well,
I don't know about you.
Well, I mean, we were, I guess, a so-called religious family, but I knew nothing about what was in the Bible.
Well, I found a lot of hypocrisy in my family with regard to religion, because the same people in my family who were shoving this religion down my throat and pretended outwardly to be religious and who read the Bible and did their rosary beads every day were the same people telling lies and manipulating other people, not in benign ways. And all around me, I saw this hypocrisy in my life, and I grew to really resent it.
Well,
and that I was expected to uphold this one standard, you know, and yet all these people around me wouldn't hold themselves up to the same standard.
And then these holy people in the church.
Yeah.
You remember a couple months ago, Lisa, when we watched that movie about the church scandal, the Catholic Church scandal? It started up in Boston, and here's all these good holy people. Upstanding, upholding the virtues of society. Yet these were the same people that not only molested and raped little boys, but engaged in an extensive cover up.
Yeah, well,
of this whole thing.
We went to a retreat once at school over the weekend, two different times, and it was this place called Shelter Island, and the place is run by priests, and these priests were having. And I went to an all-girls school. These priests were having the girls sit on their laps and put their arms around them and talk to them and privately, one-on-one, in their offices. And I was even, I had my little appointment time with the priest in the office, and he wanted me to sit on his lap, too. And at the time, you know, it struck me like a bit unusual that these priests were so friendly. And, you know, nowadays that, of course, would be, well, it would be very suspect and frowned upon and considered wrong. But at the time, not one of those girls that was there, even me, spoke up about that. We weren't taught that that was wrong.
Right.
Well, and it's not like the nuns didn't know that that was going on. And at the time, even if we had, nobody would have cared or believed us. Because at the time, kids didn't have the rights that they have now. They're not listened to. When I was growing up, children were to be seen and not heard. That's the environment I grew up in.
Yeah. And that reminds me of a story. There's a writer named Jack Kerouac. He was famous for the book On the Road. And he writes that he was a Roman Catholic. And he went to confession. He was like fourth or fifth grade. And he remembered it vividly because he went into confessional and, you know, he said, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned," blah, blah, blah. And he says at one point, he says, "And Father, one of my other sins was that I was fondling myself. I was playing with myself." Now, this is, anyone that's gone to confession knows that it's kind of a spooky thing. You're in this confessional, it's dark, and there's that little curtain there.
It's intimidating, especially when you're a little kid, and they make you do it when you're a little kid, and it's frightening.
So anyway, he's fourth or fifth, maybe sixth grade, whatever. I can't remember exactly, but he says, "Father, I was playing with myself." And now the priest, of all the responses he could have given in the world, he says, "Well, son..." He says, "Tell me about it. How big did it get when you were playing with yourself? Tell me more." And see, this is the kind of perversion that goes on. And it's not only religion, even though we're focusing on religion now. It's government. It's these world entities like the UN and so forth. Everything. The world lies.
We start off trusting and believing what we're told. And we start out from this good place. Well, most of us, I think, do. I know, I guess I did, but what we're exposed to alters our opinion and our perspective and our view of the world. I know it did for me, dramatically, and from a very, very young age. And I saw right away the different ways people are treated when they have money and they come from wealth and they come from a family that's powerful, as opposed to a family that has to struggle to make a buck and work for a living, and you don't have all those luxury perks.
And you know, Lisa, the majority of people, the everyday people in this this Patriot movement are everyday people. They don't have a lot of money. And you know what makes us crazier than anything is to see these good people getting taken for suckers, to be deceived, to be lied to be given false hope, to be filled with all this fear-mongering.
Yeah, and you know,
on and on and on. You're being taken for suckers.
We learn that right away, even from a young girl, I realized you're going to get punished for thinking your own thoughts and expressing those thoughts that run counter to what the popular thought is, to what the popular opinion is. People are very, very afraid of people who think differently.
Do you know what's expected of all of you out there in the Patriot movement? What's expected of you is to stay quiet. Don't ask questions, especially of the big names in this movement. Don't ask questions of them. Don't expose their wrongdoing. Just be like the people in church. Be like the people in the cults. Be like the people that don't ask any questions or form their own thoughts.
We're supposed to overlook injustice and not see when people lie and not hear when people tell these damaging disinformation lies. We're supposed to pretend they weren't said or just keep quiet about it.
Right.
And I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't.
Right. And last but not least, talking of past events, and me and Lisa devoted a whole show to this once, when we had our eyes opened to what's really going on. Mine was early in 1990 when I was living in Los Angeles, when one of my coworkers gave me a videotape of Bill Cooper giving a speech and said, go home and watch this. When I watched that, my entire world changed because I'd realized that my parents, my community leaders, the church, the government, and everybody else, the historians, everybody,
right,
was lying to me. And when Lisa came here in the fall of 2001, and I started giving her these books, and we were watching the videotapes, and I could see her.
And we had very long, long discussions. We would take long, long walks, and we would talk about all these things, and my whole belief system was eroded. I mean, and I didn't have much of one anyway, but the few things, the illusions that I was clinging to were completely shredded, just dissolved. And I didn't know at the time that I would be able to even come rally back from that because I was so crushed. To learn that everything's just a big lie. The whole shebang is just a big friggin' lie.
Yeah. And when people ask us now, why does the truth matter to you so much? Because the world lies. All of these entities that we've listed, the media, the government, religion, they all lie to us. And folks, these people in your alternative media are lying to you through either direct lies or through omission.
Again. If we want to have a movement that accomplishes anything and is effective, we have to weed out the deviant elements. And if we're involved in something that people call a movement that is really just a network of psychopaths and deviant people controlling and co-opting the information
that have been put in place by the people who are destroying our world anyway,
then how can this movement accomplish anything good? In order to make a change, we have to dissolve the truth vacuum. We have to start filling that empty space with truth, don't you think?
Yeah. After this show, I want you to think about what we said, and then I want you to go in your bathroom or in your bedroom and look in the mirror and say, am I doing enough to expose the lies and deceit within our own movement?
Ask yourself one question. Does the truth matter to you?
And if you're not doing enough, if you're not calling John Stadtmiller about this 23-year-old disinfo artist, if you're not calling GCN, or if you're not phoning into Alex Jones' show and saying, Alex, do you really think God commanded you to bullhorn the Bilderbergs? If you're not doing that, look at yourself in the mirror again and ask, what the hell matters to you? Because there's two things in this world that matter. The most. Three things. There's love, there's truth, and there's your soul. And truth is your soul. If you're not fighting for the truth, then you're in the same category as every other one of these schmucks that's either being deceived or doing the deceiving.
And how can you have real love without truth? How can you have that?
We're putting our necks on the line, and we take an incredible amount of heat for exposing these bastards. Not only in the New World Order, but also in our own midst. And I'll say it again, these people deceiving you closest to you have been put in place by those far away in the New World Order. They didn't get there by accident.
If you people out there want to really have a movement, then you're going to hold yourselves and the people around you to a higher standard. You're going to stop punishing the truth tellers, and you're going to start holding accountable the shills, the people who are telling the lies. We have to stop rewarding the liars and penalizing the truth tellers.
We hope this show had some effect on you, and we'd also like to thank Mr. Michael Langston. His article is on the Wing TV homepage, and when he visited us a couple weeks ago, he suggested a song for the end of our show. It's by 10 Years After, so we're going to put this song on at the end of our show for Mr. Michael Langston, who is out there telling the truth.
Oh, and I'd like you to all check out Laura Knight Yadchik's latest blog. It's called America's Nervous Breakdown. And I think it's a very important piece of writing that everyone should read. You can go to the Signs of the Times website. We've linked to it, that website, on our homepage. Check it out. It's really important reading.
Right. This show today came from the heart. I want to thank Lisa for providing her examples. This stuff matters to us. It's not a hobby. It's not a game. The truth matters to us because the world lies. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.
Funny, skies are sunny.